So the six drivers of influence in copywriting, these are really important, and I should have mentioned it in the first video, but take notes on this stuff as you go, because there will be quizzes in the end, but it's also just very important that you have a good frame of reference for all of this stuff written in your own words. So let's start out with the fundamental premise of human psychology. So attraction is not a choice. It's a biological, instinctual trigger that evolved millions of years ago to help keep you alive, which is usually why it is never consciously understood or perceived by people until they actually start to study it, right? So this is just a little bit behind why attraction is not a choice. It's a survival instinct, and it's been ingrained in us for hundreds of thousands of years. We literally can't survive on our own, so we form tribes and we form families, and we follow a leader until we gain enough confidence to start our own group, whatever it is. A leader is typically the strongest and most dominant individual in the group or family, and he has the highest level of perceived authority. One of the main primary responsibilities is to protect his own group, and in return for that, the group follows him or her. That instinct still exists today, to this very day, but the inherent value of a leader is now expressed through different abilities, such as business savvy, sociability, monetary means, and education, instead of just the physical prowess. We're not primates anymore. Nonetheless, the trait still being expressed is authority, and essentially we are hardwired to find people attractive or unattractive based on the level of value they have to offer, because we gain a portion of their power or value through that association. Think of a celebrity and his or her kind of entourage, right? Think through the Kardashians maybe, or something like that. People in that group gain social status through their association to the celebrity, thus making them more attractive to others, right? They become cooler and more attractive to other people outside the group who want in. And through the study of human dynamics, the same principles of attraction and influence can be applied to all aspects of life, including sales and business. So when it comes to human psychology, Robert Cialdini, PhD, published one of the most influential and respected books on the topic of human psychology. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. Great book. You should definitely pick up a copy. There have been works that have built on this, so in some ways it is a little bit outdated, but it was just one of the most influential books of its time, and it'll still be helpful to this day. Countless high-level marketers, salespersons, CEOs, startup owners have read this book and attributed their success to it. Inside the book, Robert talks about six primary mechanisms that create influence. And these six principles, they're the foundation for sales and marketing, and we are going to go over all the principles one by one. So let's start with mechanism number one, which is reciprocity, and I can't tell you how important this first one is. Most people miss this, but reciprocity is a very, very important one. And as we go through, just a quick reminder, as we go through these, be sure to take notes. Be sure you're writing down all of these various points so that you understand them, you get them, and they're kind of ingrained into your head. So reciprocity is people are hardwired to return favor that they receive. It can benefit you or even save your life to help out others, and in the process, create future goodwill. If you go out hunting and you kill a deer and your neighbor came back empty-handed, it would make sense to share your food. Why? Because one day the rules might reverse and you would like your family to have the security of not going hungry if that happens. So in a business sense, reciprocity is the single most powerful tool to create influence and goodwill and in turn create sales. Mechanism number two is commitment and consistency. So we align our actions and promises with inner choices and systems such as our beliefs and values. And when we make a promise, we feel obligated to fulfill that promise. When we make a decision, we continue down that path and stay on. If people commit to something orally or in writing, they are more likely to honor that commitment. So example number one, commitment to marriage. After the engagement, people usually go through the marriage, even if they get cold feet at some point. And example number two, have you ever purchased something you don't need? In a backwards way, it was an opportunity to support your inner belief that you like to save money. As marketers, our goal is to create opportunities for our prospects to say yes and commit themselves to small actions, which will eventually increase their commitment to invest in our products and services. In other words, The goal is to turn small yeses into a big yes. So the principles used in the ad campaigns: the prospect clicks the ad, which is a small yes. They subscribe to our newsletter, yes. They register for a webinar, they attend the webinar, they finally make the big purchase. All of these are little yeses that add up to one very big yes, which is the credit card comes out and they buy. Speakers use this principle during their presentations where they ask questions like, are you enjoying it so far? Have you experienced a problem like this? Do you wish you could? Are you still with me? If you had the opportunity to change that problem, would you do it? Right? They create a consistent pattern where the audience says yes to every question they ask. At some point, they ask, would you like to buy my product? And they've said yes, and they're conditioned to say yes, so they say yes. All right, so mechanism number three is social proof. Social proof is a mechanism that allowed your ancestors to survive by providing an easy way to deal with circumstances that can cause harm, like eating an unknown food or avoiding a poisonous animal, something like that. And people will do what they see others doing, right? It's a subconscious trigger. Simply put, we will accept new things as positive or negative based on what we see others doing. This is why we see testimonials and product rating systems in almost every single scenario: Amazon reviews, Rotten Tomatoes, Better Business Bureau, etc., etc., etc. Also, factors like social media following, customer case studies, results, credentials go a long way in helping people decide if they want to buy a product or not. Mechanism number four is authority. Authority is another form of social proof that we look for. It's literally a trait ingrained in our species. So demonstrating authority tells your prospects that you are more qualified than them to acquire pleasure or avoid pain. Authority creates influence. You can exhibit authority by showing evidence of previous business accomplishments or credentials, or showing yourself in Forbes. With that being said, you do not need to be one of the top authorities in an industry in order to be considered as an authority by your prospects. The only qualification you need is you must know a little bit more about the subject than your prospects. You don't need a degree or anyone else's permission to give value to others. If you can teach others what they don't know, you're going to be an authority in their eyes. You can tap into the authority through the power of association. For example, entourage. Mechanism number five, likability. So likability, we like doing business with those whom we like, right? Express yourself freely and share your personal life, your daily activities, life experiences, those types of things. Give people opportunities to like you and they will like to do business with you. Mechanism number six, this is the final one, scarcity. Scarcity works through anticipated regret. If there's a product that is available at all times, there isn't much need to rush out and buy it, is there? People are not buying the product. They are buying to satisfy one of the three internal psychological triggers: greed, sloth, and fear. Greed, we as humans have this intense desire to make more money, date more people, live longer, be more attractive, on and on, right? That's why we buy things which promise what we seek. The sloth, products that sell sloth typically provide a faster and easier way to do something, right? People will always purchase such products because we have the innate desire to conserve energy and use it only when it's necessary. And then the fear is, if you instill fear in your prospect, it will stimulate the very primitive part of their reptilian brain. It's designed to survive at any cost, and they will ignore all logic and reason as a result. People who fear for physical or financial safety are very likely to buy. Topics that trigger fear, and we'll end with this: bad economic news, emergency food storage, potential lawsuits, unexpected medical emergencies, aging, losing attractiveness, and those types of things. Whether fear of something is well justified or not is completely irrelevant. Fear does not attack the conscious brain, but the subconscious brain, and gets people to seek out solutions that would make them feel safe. Scarcity is one of the most powerful sources of influence, as it taps into the fear of missing out on something that can help you avoid pain or acquire pleasure. That's why using genuine scarcity in your marketing campaigns will increase your sales.